Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Little Van Halen jumping at us there, bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you're here, too, because you're about to meet somebody that I think you're going to enjoy meeting and hearing and finding out what he's all about. Prelo Alexander is a guy who decided to go retro on his career, and we're going to give him to tell us about that. He's the author of You Want Fries With That? A White-Collar Burnout Experience, Life at Minimum Wage. And I got to say, I can relate to him in my life. There have been times when I've felt like doing what he did. Prelo Alexander, welcome to the show.
Morning, Jim. How are you, sir?
It's good. I'm doing great. It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
Now, see, I'm just cynical enough to think, Prelo, that all along this was your plan. Your plan was to you didn't decide to drop out of the rat race and quit being an ad man. You said, you know what, I'm going to drop out and get this experience and write this book and make $1 million. Because Prelo, we all know that when you write a book, you become a millionaire, right?
Oh yeah, instantly. they're delivering the wheelbarrows full of money.
Exactly.
As we speak. Just bring it on in, guys. Put it over there on the other pile. Yeah.
So you were an ad man, right?
Yes, sir.
And tell the audience what an ad man is.
Well, I was I worked for a what would be considered a small ad agency. There were 13 people, and you know, certainly qualifies as small business. And I was the creative director, and I really enjoyed the job for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I got more experienced, I got sort of drawn over into the account service side of the field. Actually had to, you know, meet with clients.
Not
and
dealing with customers.
Poor.
Did you tell the guys, do your worst?
Yes, that was usually my advice to them. I'd say, look, I don't mind doing my job and your job, but doing my job and your job and pretending like it's you doing it, that was what eventually
and then having to pretend like you liked the customers, that was just too much, right?
It was. It got to the point where it was either quit or take a hostage, and I felt like leaping into the world of unemployment was probably the way to go.
So you did this for over 10 years, and so really, though, tell us what the break point was. Was it really was it the dysfunction of the organization? Was it you meeting face to face the specter of the American customer, or what do you think it was?
Well, I do remember.
Or was it just Prelo?
No, it's a combination of those things. But I do remember the day that I said I have to get out of this business. We did a pitch to the South Carolina State Ports Authority, and we had that account for 10 years, and we were taking really good care of them, really working hard, doing it at a reduced rate because it was the ports. And
mm-hmm.
So we made our pitch, and we lost. And one of the clients came over to tell us why we had lost so that, you know, we wouldn't make the same mistakes in the next pitch.
Mm-hmm. That was nice.
And he lectured me on how I looked at my notes when I was making my part of the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other agency, that guy was really smooth. He didn't look at his notes.
So they basically hired an actor.
Exactly. And I thought, you know, the business is just not what it was. And, you know, boo-hoo-hoo for me, that's the way the business is. And I said, it's time for me to move on and find something else to do.
How long
and
did it take
I hadn't decided
you
what I wanted to do. My wife was working and had a salary that kept us, you know, from completely going under. And I thought, you know, I need to do something to help bring some money into the house.
So you just quit. Is that when you quit? I mean, was that the day you walked out, or what?
No, but it was shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
I broke. I snapped.
You snapped. It sounds like
and,
that.
And you know, my
and,
my
and you
wife
didn't
knew
say
it was
and you didn't say let me go to New York City and get some more of this.
No, sir. No, sir. And you know, with no income on my side coming in, I thought, well, I'll go. I've heard that, you know, pizza guys, they make, you know, a handful of cash at the end of the night. I'll go deliver
pizza. And virtually no stress.
Exactly. No, that
of course,
was, that
and
was
of
nice.
Course, of course, then there are there is the groupies too. The pizza delivery guy groupies too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. it was primarily the chicks is why I got into it. And so I started driving around in the dark delivering pizzas to houses that didn't have numbers on their mailbox.
Right.
And it took me about 3 days to realize that what you do is you deliver pizza so you can buy gas. So you can deliver pizza so you
right.
can buy gas.
Because you're kind of a contractor, aren't you?
They give you a little stipend for per run, and they pay right. you minimum wage, and then you yeah. get tips.
Yeah.
But the problem is that most people tip the pizza guy $2,
yeah.
and that doesn't cover gas.
Right.
So
you have to pay your own gas when you deliver pizza?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yes, it's awful. As I worked this job, I got to thinking, back to the days when life was more simple and, you know, you're in college and all you're paying for mm-hmm. is food and beer and, mm-hmm. And started thinking back about the crummy jobs I'd worked. And then it sort of came together that it was a topic that I think that a lot of white collar, adults sort of daydream about, you know, what if I just simplified and
hey,
moved
listen,
into the
listen,
minimum
I have,
wage
I
world.
I have had times in my business, in my life as either working for another company as an executive or running my own company and you know, I've had days where I drive by literally and you're talking to a guy who grew up on a farm, so I know what manual labor. And this wasn't like a couple of weeks in the summer with grandmother's house. This was 24/7, 365
right.
for years, and so I know what manual labor is all about. So anyway, but I'd drive by and I'd see these guys digging a ditch, and I'd say, I wonder if they'd trade with me. Is that what you thought? You know, were there times when you felt that way?
Yeah, it is absolutely.
And I mean, I'm serious. You say, I wonder if he would trade, but I won't tell him why I'm going to trade because he wouldn't trade with me then. Hold on to that thought. Prelo Alexander, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of life's lessons here from our new friend, Prelo Alexander, the author of You Want Fries With That? 20 After. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. She's got it. Yeah, baby, she's got it. When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour.
No, I won't.
I'm Jim Blassingame, small business advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, Prelo Alexander. Folks, his first name is spelled Prioleau. Take this down. It's going to be on the test. Prioleau. Pronounced Prelo Alexander. Would you say it's a South Carolina French Huguenot name derivation? Is that what you're saying, Prelo?
Yes, sir. It's one of those Charleston names that that the family feels like it's very important to pass along. And unfortunately, I got stuck with it as the name that I'm called by.
Well, I like it because it's different. I just don't envy you explaining people how to spell it and how to pronounce it. As I said to you off the air, with a name like Blassingame, I can relate. Prelo, the book is called You Want Fries With That, and it's about his experience as a burned-out white-collar guy living life at minimum wage. Prelo, we're going to get you back and talk about this some more on other days. But we don't have to cover this whole thing all at once. But I would like to know what do you think was the most important thing? Now, you did the burger flipping thing, which I did, by the way, in high school and right out of high school. I've been there, done that, but not later. I didn't do it later. You did, and but what do you think you learned from all this?
I learned a lot of comic lessons and And I learned, I think, some life lessons that I just needed to be drilled back into my head in my 40s. And, you know, one of the big things is that every day we need to get up and say, there but for the grace of God goes I. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, I worked with a lot of kids and a lot of college guys and gals and, you know, some people that were just trying to make some extra money. But I also worked with people who just have gotten really crummy breaks in their life. And if you're raised by a bad enough parent, the chances are good that you're going to end up in this minimum wage cycle.
It's a curse.
It is. It is indeed. And, you know, we all have our own theories about what goes wrong. And but my personal theory is I just blame it on the parents.
My mother predicted I was going to do that, by the way. I remember when as a teenager she said, you're going to blame this all this on me, aren't you? But, you know, the thing is, it is interesting, though. I'm really a strong believer in self-determination, Prelo, and I believe that, you know, how many times have you seen two kids raised in this exact same scenario, everything, I mean, they're only a year or so apart, everybody got the same stuff. And one turns out to be, you know, a president, and the other one turns out to be a burger flipper for the rest of their life or in jail or something like that. I do believe that the environment is a big deal, but I also think some people are wired to rise above it and some are not.
I could not agree with you more. One of the things that I explore in the book is people who succeed in the American dream and, you know, truly pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They're wired to succeed. So to them, it seems foreign that there are people out there that can't or don't replicate what they do.
Or at least, if not replicate what they do, at least replicate better than what they've got.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think that there are exceptional people. And I'm not an exceptional person, but I think that there are lots of exceptional people who that, you know, that drive and that energy and that desire to succeed, they feel it every morning when they get up. And that's the great thing about America is if you are one of those people, you can go from delivering pizzas to building the next pizza empire.
Somebody once said to me once, Prelo, that you're either a reaction to your raising or a product of your raising. And what they meant was, you know, obviously a reaction means that you react to your raising and you defy it and you get mad at it and basically it consumes you and you don't really rise above it. And then if you're a product of your raising, you take what you got when you were raised and you build on that. And I really think that's the essence of those two guys I was talking about. Those two siblings. One went one way, and one went the other way.
I think you're absolutely right. I really do.
And so, well quickly, we got about a minute. What is your perspective on minimum wage? On the concept of minimum wage.
Well, you know, Jim, the book is a humorous look at this crazy world. Through the eyes of a white-collar guy. And the thing that makes it funny and made it the experience funny for me, I didn't make fun of my coworkers. I made fun of myself because as a white-collar guy, you go into any situation and you're thinking in terms of how do I make this more efficient?
Right.
What are the problems? How do I solve them? Mm-hmm. And none of that is wanted or desired down in the minimum wage world.
Right.
So it's a very strange feeling to sort of stand there slack-jawed while all of these problems go on and you don't solve them.
You can fix them by waving your hand.
But, you know, minimum wage was never designed as a living wage.
As a place to live.
Yeah.
It's a pass-through wage. Hey, Prelo, I got to wrap it up. Tell us where the book's available.
It's a national release, so it should be available at your listeners' bookstores
Wherever,
or online.
Wherever fine books are sold and a couple of places maybe where they're not so fine. Hey, Prelo, will you come back another day?
I would love to.
We'll have you back again real soon. Enjoyed it. Thank you. See you next time.
You.
Quick break. Right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.